The Scapegoats Podcast, the show where Josh, that's me, talks about some things Yu-Gi-Oh! For a little while longer. And we do have a special guest today. Sienna is back, returning for another episode. Sienna, how are you feeling about being back on the podcast? Excellent. today we're going to be talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! Jargon. So what do I mean by jargon? It's all of these terms that are specific to Yu-Gi-Oh! The last episode that you and I did, I had a lot of fun on, and I think you did too, right? So we're bringing you back. So I'm not just monologuing these terms to you guys. We're going to kind of bounce it off of each other. And I think it'll be fun because it'll be a nice test for you guys listening too, as to like how long you may have been around Yu-Gi-Oh!, how immersed you got in it, depending on how many of these terms you know and or don't know. But yeah, that's the topic of today's episode. Should be fun. Before we do anything else, though, I do have some updates for you guys. And Sienna, are you cool if I monologue for a little bit and you figure out how you want to warm up today while I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So, biggest update. Y'all know the podcast was kind of slated to end more or less around the end of September. It's kind of bleeding into October a little bit, which is cool, but the next episode is going to be the last one, unfortunately, for the Scapegoats. Bittersweet thing. Y'all know all the details already, but for this last episode, I do want to do a Q&A for it. And as this episode comes out, I'm going to go ahead and put out a tweet at the same time for you guys to ask your questions. And you can ask on that tweet if you want. You can DM us if you want, right? You know, it's really just me on Twitter. So you can DM me if you want. If you're a patron, you can obviously ask the question through Patreon, however y'all want to do it. And there's no limit to the questions that you guys can ask. So like, if you have five questions, ask five questions. There's also not a limit to the topic it can be on, right? It doesn't have to stick on just Yu-Gi-Oh! Exactly. You can ask questions about Yu-Gi-Oh! You can ask questions about life. You can ask like personal questions. You can ask questions about the Scapegoats, about the situation, you know, whatever really. I plan to be a total open book and I want to answer every question as thoroughly as I can. So it may be a really long episode, no time limit, nothing like that. And the reason I want to end it like that is I think it's just, I kind of view this, the Scapegoats as a whole, as like almost a collaboration between us and you guys, because for what it is, right? Like while the Scapegoats is not taking over the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community, I think it was pretty successful for what it was. And you guys have, you know, a lot to do with that. We don't get there without you guys. So I feel like ending it on a Q&A is kind of more like a conversation, right, between us before it ends. And I just feel like it's a more poetic way to go out. So yeah, just think of some questions, ask them. Honestly, the more the better. Even if you have like a deck list you're working on, you want some thoughts on it or just some eyes on it or whatever, just, you know, go for it, whatever you're feeling. I think that's probably the biggest one. That episode may come out a week from this episode or 2 weeks. Not really sure yet, but one of the two. And yeah, I think that's the main one. Only other thing, I talked about it already, but my YouTube channel link is in the description. No videos yet, but hopefully mid-October or end of October, those will be dropping. So give that a follow if you care about it. If you don't, no worries. But yeah, with that, Sienna, how are we warming up today?
Okay, so we're going to do a would you rather again. Hold on, I have to wait for it to load.
Okay. Would you rather is good. Nice, easy.
I won't do the fish one again, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully this one's better.
Well, I think so. Okay. So it's would you rather run into an alien or Bigfoot?
An alien or Bigfoot? So Yu-Gi-Oh! Wise, there is a Bigfoot card. It's called Danger Bigfoot. There is also a whole archetype of aliens. There's a ton of aliens in Yu-Gi-Oh! What would you do? I need to think a little bit. What would you do?
I want to run into an alien.
Okay, why?
Because maybe it'll be like a cute alien or something like squishy. So it's like a 50-50 chance. I could get something cute and I could be its friend, or It's going to want to abduct me and kill me. So fingers crossed that I would rather run into the cute squishy one. Bigfoot would be scary.
Yeah, Bigfoot's not nice, right? It's not like a creature that's known for being particularly pleasant to people, right?
Exactly.
What is Bigfoot's personality? That's a question. Yeah, you know what? Now that you said that, I think I agree with you. I definitely think it's alien. You have a lot cooler possibilities, right? If you run into Bigfoot, like, that's cool, I guess, if you live through that. But if you tell people you ran into Bigfoot, like, they're not going to believe you.
Right? Exactly.
There's been so many, like, Bigfoot sightings. And you can kind of say the same thing for aliens, but you have the possibility of, like, them being able to communicate with you, and that's, like, living proof. Or, like, maybe you get some cool technology from them or something. Or maybe you die.
Or maybe you get chipped.
You get what?
Chipped.
What does that mean?
Probed.
Probed. Okay, that's two different words, chipped. I think. Chipped. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a risk reward thing. Like, if you see Bigfoot, you meet him, maybe you walk away alive, maybe you don't, but no one's going to believe you either way. I think there's a lot cooler possibilities with the alien, so I would go that as well. So, nice. Mm. Nice question. All right. Well, I feel nice and juiced. So we're going to jump into this thing. We have a bunch of jargon terms here, and I did not plan this, but there are 69 of them. 69 of them. So there's a lot. And the way I have them just sorted in alphabetical order, how this is going to work, okay, I'm going to tell you the term. You're going to tell me what you think it means, and you can ask me some clarification questions, right? You can say, like, well, use it in a sentence or something like that, you know, spelling bee style. Okay. And for everyone that you get right or close, I'm a highlighted in green on this little doc I got here. And how many do you think you should get to win if there's 69? I'm thinking like 30.
That's fair.
You think so?
Yes.
Because that seems like a lot. But you've heard me talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! For hours and hours at a time, right? So you've probably
I think I'm going to do better than you think I'm going to do.
Okay. Awesome. So they're in alphabetical order, except for the first one, because the one that is at the beginning, I think you need some context for. So I'm going to kind of try to lobby a softball here with the second one, at least. But the first term we have, jargon term, is meta. What do you think meta means?
Meta is like the ones that are currently played right now, or it's like in current format.
Okay, yeah. I definitely think that's close enough to get it right. So like meta, this is like one of the most common terms you'll hear in Yu-Gi-Oh! And I feel like in kind of just card games in general. But meta is like theoretically, or I guess not theoretically, more specifically, it's a measure of like the most popular decks make up the meta. But people kind of also, you know, use that as an extension of like the decks that are the best right now, or like you said, the decks that are involved in the format. Cool. Okay, so there's one. Next up, anti-meta. What is that?
They are not good, so no one is playing them.
Okay, final answer?
Oh, okay. So use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence. Okay. I guess this can take on multiple meanings. You won with... Oh, I hate playing against anti-meta.
Okay, that's so that leads me nowhere. so it mm-hmm. it was ones that were once popular and now they're not.
Okay, kind of. So I'm not gonna give that one to you.
Boo.
But you're describing a different jargon term that we'll get to. But anti-meta, at least in my experience so far, that's also the cool thing about this, is like people have different experiences with different terms. But my experience with this is you have the meta, right? Like you said, which is like the best decks, the most popular decks. So if those are the best decks, a deck that is an anti-meta deck is what? A deck that is designed to beat those decks.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. A deck that it itself is not meta, but it is anti-meta. It's like maybe there's these cards that are really good against the meta, so this anti-meta deck fills itself with those cards to like combat the meta. So if you would have got like a strategy that's against the meta, I would have given it to you. But I do think you're right. I think you'll be better at this than I think. So I'm not going to give that to you. I'm going to be a little harsh. All right. Next up, back row.
back row is your traps and spells.
Perfect. Amazing. Not much to explain there. All right, next up, beat stick or beater.
Beat stick.
Beat stick, yeah.
Use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence. Okay. Yeah, this guy's just a beat stick. He's just a big beat stick. This monster's just a big beat stick. This is not helpful at all, is it? Using it in a sentence. I'm thinking about it.
It's something that has a lot of health or attack. It's something that's strong.
Excellent. You are 100% right. That's exactly what it is.
Heck
yeah.
yeah.
Good job. Have you not heard that before?
I have not.
Yeah.
Beat stick?
Yeah, it's like some people will call it like a chungus or something. But it's like a big monster with like Blue Eyes White Dragon, for example. It has no effects, right? It's just a big monster with 3,000 attacks. So if you have a Blue Eyes on the field, all it is for you is a beat stick. It's just something that is very powerful, like you said. Okay, next up, blank.
Blank, like that's the...
Yeah, that's the term. Yeah, blank.
It's empty.
Yes. Well, I'll just use it in a sentence for you. That card is... You know what? I can't use it in a sentence. I can't... It's so hard to do this sentencing. I did not think this through, because it's like, if I use it in a sentence, it either is not helpful at all, or it'll tell you exactly what the term means. So is that your final answer?
Yes, because I don't know what...
I can tell you it's a verb. It's a verb to blank something.
To be gone something.
To what?
Get rid of.
To get rid of something? That's a good guess. That's a good guess. That is not correct, though, necessarily.
Boo.
It is in a sense. So blank, if you haven't heard this one, this is like if you have a monster, right, and your opponent imperms it, right? Imperm negates its effects for the turn. They could say something like, oh yeah, I'm just going to use imperm to blank your monster, which essentially what it does is just take away the effect or make the card useless in itself, right? So does that make sense?
Yes, that does.
Yeah. So, but you're 3 for 5 so far. Okay, what about bomb? This is a noun, by the way, a bomb.
Can you use it in the context of you playing in a game?
Yes. I could say, let's say I just beat somebody. I could say, yeah, dude, I only won because I had that bomb.
Okay, so it's like a really good card.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like an extremely powerful card. It's like it's a type of card.
It's a goat.
It's a goat. Yeah, it's like a type of card descriptor in itself, right? So something like, trying to think for your experience, like, have I ever used like Raigeki or something on you to blow up all your monsters, or like Harpy's Feather Duster? Those type of things,
yes,
are bomb
yes.
cards.
Okay.
Cool. All right, next up we have book. This one's a verb.
Book.
Book.
It's an escape. You're going to like book them on out of here.
You think it's like if you're robbing somebody or something, you gotta book it. You gotta
book it out of here. to end the game quickly.
Okay, that's interesting that you'd say that. That is not correct.
Of course, it's not.
Yeah, the book is all it is a reference to Book of Moon. Does that help you?
Stop it! You're lying.
No, yeah, that's all it means. Book of Moon is such an iconic, like, ubiquitous card.
You should have known that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially considering you basically suggested the name for my channel, the Book of Moon, Book of Yu-Gi-Oh! Book. Yeah. Darn. So like it's so ubiquitous that Book of Moon flips a monster face down. So like you just kind of shorthand it and be like, oh, this card, this effect books it. I'm going to book it. Right. Even if you're not using Book of Moon itself, anything that flips a monster face down, you can just call it a book. Basically. All right, what about bounce?
Sending something back to your hand.
Whoa. Okay, that's exactly what it is. How do you know that?
Heck yeah. Well, I just was thinking like bounce back. So then it's like, well, if you're doing something with Yu-Gi-Oh, then it would either bounce back to your hand or your deck.
Damn. Yeah, that was no hesitation. You knew that immediately.
Bam.
Yeah, nice. What about Brick?
Brick is you can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's exactly
a
what it
brick
is.
Hand. Your hand can't do nothing.
Right. Yeah. It can be a noun or a verb. You can say like I bricked, meaning that you have a bad hand that can't do anything, or like to brick, you know, is a thing. So yeah, very good. Very good. What about broken?
It is too powerful. It is a really, really, really good card.
Nice. You are killing this. You've only missed 3 so far. I think we need to edit this goal. I think 30 is too. How about 45? 40. We'll do 40.
40. We can do 40.
No. We'll do 30 is actually good because actually that's 35. Like about half. 35. We'll do 35. Yeah, that's exactly what broken is. People overuse that term a ton too, to describe things that are not actually broken, but yeah, it's just a very easy way to criticize something as being too strong. What about burn?
Burn.
There are a couple answers I'll accept here.
To deal damage.
Yes. Yes. Can you be any more specific though?
Like continuous damage.
Yeah, you know what? That's close enough. I'll give it to you. Yeah, burn. So like the deck that you played for a little bit, Trickstar, that is a very infamous deck for its ability to burn, because basically a burn is like, I usually consider it like direct damage to your life points. Because you know, if like the Trickstar monster is Lycoris, whenever you draw a card, you lose 200 life points. That's a burn effect. And it just burns you over and over. So it's a term used to describe that. So I will give that to you. What about crash?
Can you use it in the context of you playing a game?
Yeah. Okay. So I have a board established. I have monsters. You have a board established. You have monsters. And I enter the battle phase and I say, yeah, I'm just going to crash.
You're disrupting me.
Okay. Final answer.
Okay, so it's a not that.
I'm going to say final answer right about so that you won't know.
Oh, so I think
sure.
That. You're going to interrupt what I'm doing.
It's a good guess, but no. Crash is when you are in Yu-Gi-Oh! Do you know what happens if two monsters that have the same attack value attack each other?
Don't they both go back to the hand or are both destroyed?
Exactly. They both die. So it's kind of like, it's a way to say that I'm just going to crash and I'm just going to kill both of our monsters. I'm just going to lose mine by crashing it into yours. Essentially. Yeah. Some people also use that as just like attacking in general. I'm just going to crash into this or something, but that's usually the term of like killing both of them. All right. What about cut?
Cut as in like cutting a deck.
All right, you got it right. Correct. Good job. You were just asking a question. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. Cut. What about dump? Very common one.
Dump.
Dump. Sorry, I don't know why it's so funny.
You're going to use all of your cards.
Okay. That's a great, great guess, but it is not correct, unfortunately. Dump, what that means is to send a monster to the graveyard from the deck, usually. It's synonymous with a card like Foolish Burial, which is a card that just says send one monster from your deck to the graveyard. And you would just say, yeah, I'm just going to dump this. I guess you could also use it as like, you know, discarding something from the hand, but mostly it's like sending a card from deck to grave. It's dumping.
Okay.
What about engine?
Engine, like the core of the deck.
Okay, yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah, I thought you were going to struggle with that one. That one is basically what it is. Your engine is the core of your deck. I don't know when this became popular or who made that popular, but this was not like a term throughout Yu-Gi-Oh! For, I don't think, like more than like the past 10 years or so. But yeah, good stuff. What about extender?
A link monster.
Link monsters can be extenders.
A fusion monster.
They can also be extenders.
Okay. any one of those cards that are blue, white, or purple.
Yes, those all can be extenders. Any monster can be an extender, which means they are what? Or they
fusible.
Do what? Yeah.
Okay.
Think about the name. Think about it very literally.
It extends your turn. The monsters extend your turn.
Okay, you got there, basically. So like an extender, I'm sure most of you guys out there are familiar with these people talking in this type of context a lot. And an extender is just something that extends your plays, or like you said, theoretically also extends your turn because it makes your allows you to do more plays, so your turn's longer. Nice. I will give that to you. How about fizzle?
You fizzled out. So it's the end of your turn and you, or the end and you lose.
That is another good guess. But no, fizzle refers to a card effect not resolving for whatever reason. So if you activate an effect and it doesn't, you know, do what it's supposed to, it doesn't conclude essentially, you know, just for your information, yeah, it fizzles is what you would say. So I'm trying to think of an example of that, but I don't think I can of one that you would understand. But what about float?
Float. It's a monster or a card that you just need to use to get rid of.
No, but I guess I should have told you it is something that applies to like a monster or a card. Usually, like you would say, oh, this card floats, and that means it does something.
Does it do nothing?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
No. So floats, this is one of the terms that like, it's one of my favorite jargon terms that I like to use a lot, but I think it's one that makes actually like the least sense. But float means like, let's say you killed a card, right? And after you killed it, it had an effect that summoned another copy of itself from the deck. You would say that card floated because it produced something when it died. Yeah, or when it left the field. So something like, again, like I don't think there's an example that you would understand, but yeah, that's what float means. What about floodgate?
Floodgate. It stops your traps or spells and you can't use them.
I will give that to you because there are definitely floodgates that do that. A floodgate in general, yeah, is just something that stops you from playing. Think of it like the Hoover Dam, basically. It like keeps your stuff back. So something like Skill Drain, which you've heard of that card, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's Skill Drain just negates all monster effects on the field, basically. So that's a floodgate. It shuts off your monster effects completely. Oh. What about FTK?
First turn kill.
Nice. Easy. All right. What about, I'm going to delete this one. This one sucks. What about Garnet? I don't think you get this one. But Garnet. You would describe a card this way. You would say this card is a Garnet.
Garnet is a gemstone.
Mm-hmm.
It's red.
It's actually my birthstone.
January.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So it's a pretty card.
That is a great guess, but that is not correct. I didn't think you'd get this one. You have to be familiar with the Brilliant Fusion engine, but Garnet is used to describe a card that you don't want to draw or that is useless to you if you draw, or makes your deck, like shuts off an engine in your deck if you draw. The namesake of this comes from Gem Knight Garnet. There is an engine called the Brilliant Fusion engine that would do things for you, but if you drew Garnet in your hand, Gem Knight Garnet, you could not use Brilliant Fusion unless you were playing multiple Garnets. So, yeah. What about Grind?
Grind. Okay, so Grind, so I have two answers. My first one is like you're grinding, so you're doing something over and over again. Like when you're learning a deck, you're grinding it.
Like grinding a coffee bean or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my other option is it's something that's tough and you have to chip away at it.
I will give that to you. I wasn't thinking about it in that sense, but yeah, to grind at something, grind at a deck is like to play it over and over again to learn it. What I was really thinking though is like the grind game, which means the game is going to go on longer, which is kind of like what you said, actually, basically. So nice. What about Hand Trap?
Hand Trap. It's a monster that you can use in your hand and you don't have to set it.
Amazing. Perfect. What about the difference between a hard and a soft once per turn?
Oh, Lord. Use it in a sentence?
So it's really hard. I would say if this card is a hard once per turn, while this card is a soft once per turn, which does not help.
Well, that gave me absolutely nothing. Thank you.
That does not help you. Yeah.
Let's see if it's a hard soft
or a hard once per turn and a soft once per turn. So like it's saying the effect is once per turn because, you know, a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh cards say you can only use this effect once per turn. But in some cases that once per turn is called a hard once per turn. And in some cases it's called a soft once per turn. I don't think you'll get it.
So the stronger the once per turn, the harder it is, and the weaker the once per turn is, the softer it
is. So like the better the effect is, the harder it is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not true. In a way. Hard once per turn. So in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a little weird because its wording is incredibly specific. And so I'm gonna give you a theoretical example. If you have a card that says while this card is on the field, you can draw one card. Okay, that's the effect.
Okay.
If the clause that stating that's once per turn says you can only use the effect of draw goblin, we'll call it draw goblin. You can only use the effect of draw goblin once per turn. That's a hard once per turn because any copy of draw goblin that you have can only be used once per turn because it says you can only use the effect of draw goblin once per turn. So even if you have three on the field, you can only use the effect once. Right.
Okay.
Whereas a soft once per turn is where if a card says you can only use the effect of this card once per turn. In that case, if you had three draw goblins on the field, you could activate each of their effects once per turn.
You would think that'd be vice versa.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. And then it was the other way around.
Yeah. So a little bit in the weeds there. What about a hate card?
It's a card that people don't like.
Great guess. You're kind of there. A hate card is a card that shuts down a deck or mechanic, basically. So a card like D-Barrier is a hate card for like Sword Soul, because Sword Soul is a synchro deck. D-Barrier basically says you can't synchro summon for the turn. That's a hate card, essentially. This next term, I'm not a fan of. It was in use for a long time. I'm glad it's not anymore, but Helmet. This would be a way to like describe a deck or a strategy, and you would call it Helmet or a Helmet.
So it's a Helmet. It's something tough to get through, or you can't get through it.
That would be a much more respectful way, or a much more respectful meaning.
Okay,
for
wait,
this
wait,
term.
Wait. So people don't like it and they hate going against it.
You could say that it's a derogatory term. Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't help you.
No. Okay, use it in a sentence.
Don't use this in a sentence, by the way. Do not bring this term back. It is not good. But I would say, all you're doing is setting cards and flipping floodgates. That's such a Helmet deck.
It's like cheap, like not like an easy win.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Like, there you go. Yeah. I will give it to you off of that. Basically, this
you're
term,
cheesing it.
You put cheese in it?
No, you're cheesing it. Like it's a.
Kind of. Like the actual meaning of this term comes from people that may be mentally challenged wearing a helmet. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And this was like a really prevalent word for a long time. I think it was kind of on its way out when I started playing. But essentially what you're insinuating is like, this deck is so easy that somebody like that can play it. So do not use that term. It is not good, but it is a part
anybody
of Yu-Gi-Oh's history.
Anybody can play sure. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh is pretty complex, especially nowadays too. So like, I don't know that decks like that even exist anymore. But what about this one? I know you're not going to get this one, but Hobening, named after Patrick Hoban, a very well-known player in the Yu-Gi-Oh space.
Hope you open good.
No. So this Hobening stemmed from an incident where I need to describe the situation to you. So there's a deck that's the best deck. It's called Necroz, right? And most people are playing that deck because it's way better than everything else. However, there is a card in that deck that nobody likes, right? Called Jin, Releaser of Rituals. And it made the mirror matchup of Necroz versus Necroz really unfun, right? With me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So basically what would happen is at tournaments, people would come to gentlemen's agreements and say, hey, this card sucks. I hate it. You hate it. Let's side it out for game 2 and 3 and not play Jin to make the matchup more fun, essentially, or more skill-based, as people would call it. And so Hobening is the act. I haven't actually heard people use this one, but it's the act of coming to a gentleman's agreement with your opponent and then not following through with it, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was a situation, as far as I remember, right? This is just information that I got from Reddit. So, you know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. But essentially, I believe what happened is they came to a gentleman's agreement to side out Jin. And then Hoban, the player, pretended to side it out, but didn't. So his opponent sided out, like, you know, this card that basically can auto win the matchup. And Hoban kept it in instead and just pretended to side it out. So basically lied to him to get him to side out a good card so that he could get an easy win.
Dang.
Yeah, so not very cool. What about Inherent, though?
You inherit the
Inherent.
Traits of...
Inherent. Inherent.
Well, that changes things. you take... I'm still going with my answer.
Okay.
You take the characteristics of the cards even when they're gone, like in your graveyard. Are banished.
That's not a bad guess, actually. You're really good at like coming up with the logic of like how, what these cards like insinuate. But Inherent, you know what? What does that mean?
That's
a good
question.
Yeah. because it's not a real term. Here we go. It refers to a summon that does not occur by an effect. You would call it an inherent summon because it's not an effect that makes it summon. I don't use that term anymore though, but that's what it means. What about lock?
You're locked, so you can't do anything.
Boom. Exactly. What about loop?
Loop, a way to get around things.
Not quite. Good guess.
Oh, okay. So
when did
like
we establish
loophole?
That you just get multiple guesses at this? That was not a rule, but go ahead.
Well, because I'm like, okay, if it's not this, then maybe I'll have a shot at getting it. Okay,
yeah.
So is it like a loophole?
No.
Okay, so I give up.
Okay, loop is just doing the same thing over and over again.
Dang
it's usually used to refer to like an infinite loop, or an effect that you're going to activate a bunch, right? Mm-hmm. So like one example of that is in my Draco Slayer deck that I was playing, the Synchro Monster is a soft once per turn. We learned what that means. So you can basically keep bringing it back and use that effect like 3 times in the same turn. So I would say that I'm looping this card.
What about
mill? This is a term that is pretty much like across card games, I would think.
Mill, you're putting the cards back into your deck or shuffling.
No.
Handing out your cards. Dealing your cards. Okay. No.
You're close. Milling is the act of sending a card from the deck to the graveyard.
Dang it.
But it's not to be confused with dumping. Dumping is basically something you do to yourself on purpose, usually. And milling is something that your opponent will typically do to you. It's something people hate. People despise mill decks. Runics do that. So a lot of people do not like runics, but essentially, it's like if I had a card that said your opponent sends the top 5 cards of their deck to the graveyard, I would be milling your deck. So all good there. What about mirror?
Mirror, sure, for Mirror Force?
No, good guess. Oh, that's a great guess based off the book thing that we discussed earlier, but no.
Well, because I feel like you've said that before too. So
Yeah.
Okay. So if it's not that, doing the same thing that your opponent's doing.
I will give that to you. That is close enough. Mirror is usually referred to the same deck playing against itself, which is kind of what you said. So like if I'm playing Runic and you're playing Runic, we're sitting down and I would say, damn, we're playing a mirror.
It's a mirror match.
A mirror match. Exactly. Yeah. Here's another one that is a derogatory term, but monkey. M-O-N-K-E.
Is it like making fun of the Moki Moki cards?
No, that's a much more innocent interpretation of it. No, it is not. Is that your final answer?
Is it calling somebody stupid?
In a way, yeah.
Like you're a monkey.
Way. In what context do you think, though?
In a mocking way.
Okay, yeah, I'll give that to you. It's kind of the same thing as this kind of replaced the helmet term of like, this deck is so simple a monkey could play it. So like, yeah, it's usually referred to decks
it's
that are like...
It's an insult.
It's an insult, yeah. It's usually for decks that like set 4 or 5 cards and pass. So like floodgate type decks. What about nuke?
You destroyed everything.
That is exactly right. No hesitation. Nice. What about nuts?
it's nuts. Crazy. Crazy good.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, nuts. I would say I opened the nuts if I opened like an insane hand. OTK.
One turn kill.
Amazing. Damn, you are running off a bunch in a row here. What about out, to out something?
Okay, so you have an out to this, so that's a way like to get out or stop something from happening.
Exactly, pretty much. Yeah, out is basically to like get rid of something that's like a threat or like stop something. To have an out to this is for me to like say, oh, I have a card that'll stop you, or I have a card that'll get rid of this or something. So nice. What about pass?
To like just skip your turn or skip something.
Yeah, I think you're close enough to get that. So like pass is just like pass turn. Yeah, essentially. I don't know why that's like really jargon. I feel like that's just like a normal word. What about pitch? This is a verb, to pitch something.
To get rid of a card.
Yes, but in a specific way and to a specific place usually.
To the graveyard.
Okay, and it's usually from a specific place too. To the graveyard from where?
Your hand.
Exactly. Yeah, pitch is just like discard a card is basically what that's asking. What about plus and minus? Can you describe those a little bit or explain them a little bit maybe?
Okay. So that's like what it says on the Link monsters, the blue ones, where it has like plus one, right?
No.
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 Okay.
This is more of like a theory, like an applied theory.
Plus and minus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like a plus means water. If I said I plussed,
you gained something and then you lost something if it's minus?
That's close enough for somebody that doesn't play card games. Yeah, plus is just me saying like I gained an advantage, right? I gained a plus on you, right?
Okay.
If I had Pot of Greed, which draws 2 cards, I use Pot of Greed, so I lose it, but I draw 2 cards, so I've plussed 1 basically at the end of everything. Here's a good one. Pop. This is probably the most used Yu-Gi-Oh! Jargon term that I've ever heard. Pop.
Pop, to get rid of it. I'm gonna pop your back row.
Yeah, but in a specific way. Get rid of it how?
Using an effect or a hand trap?
Yeah, that can do it. But like what I'm after is like, how does it get rid of it? Like, what would you say it does to the card?
Sends it to the graveyard.
Simpler than that. Okay, we are back. That might sound a little jarring, but our Zoom thing ended that we're recording on, so we had to hop into another meeting. And unfortunately, I'm not paying for the editing software for podcasts anymore, so I'm not going to be editing that. So we'll just continue. So pop, what does that mean? You kind of insinuated that it's like getting rid of a card, but how exactly? You have to use one specific word that I have in mind.
It's effect.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to give that one to you. And the reason I'm being harsh on this is because you're very close to the goal already. And we're still in the P's. So you got plenty to go. Pop means to destroy.
Dang, it was simpler than what.
Yeah, you were thinking of like get rid of in some way. It's very specifically meaning destroy, though. What about power creep?
Power creep.
Mm-hmm.
It gains power over time.
No, incorrect. Oh. Power creep is the idea of cards getting stronger as time goes on. So, for example, right now, I would say, you've heard me talk about this, I would say Sky Striker is not good enough anymore because the cards and decks are just better now. So I would say Sky Striker got power crept, or the game has gone through a lot of power creep since Sky Striker was good, basically. What about RIP? R-I-P.
RIP. Game over.
Okay, sorry. Don't think of it as RIP. I don't know why I said it. It's RIP. It's just the word RIP. It's a verb.
RIP. You're getting rid of things all at once. Like you're ripping through something or something very quickly. Or like it ends someone's turn really quickly or end the game really quickly.
A lot of great guesses. I'll tell you, this is something that happens to a card that is done by a specific person in a specific way. If that helps at all.
Use it in context again, in a like you're playing the game.
This card, Delinquent Duo, this card rips too.
It removes cards from your hand.
Very close. Give it one more little qualifier. Be a little bit more specific. And I will give it to you.
Cards from your hand to the graveyard.
I would say it's good enough. It's something that your opponent typically does to you, or you do to your opponent. That's kind of the distinction I was looking for. So like the card I just brought up, Delinquent Duo, makes your opponent discard a card at random and then makes them discard a card of their choice. So it rips two cards out of their hand, essentially, is what it is. So it's not something you want done to you. Next up, we got Rogue.
Rogue. It's not something popular. So like, or something that people don't know about, like a rogue deck.
Exactly. Yeah. This is exactly what I was talking about when you were talking about anti-meta earlier. You were basically describing Rogue.
Okay. I got mixed up then.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Sack. So we had Nuts and now I have Sack.
together we have Nut Sack.
yeah. Oh, you're proud of that one, huh? I can hear you echoing throughout the apartment. That's funny.
Sack. You like you give up.
No, I'll use it in context. I would say, damn, I lost, but it's just because I got sacked. My opponent sacked me. I got sacked.
You got FTK or OTK.
Good guesses, but no. Sack is like, it refers to a lucky thing. So like if you drew the only card in your deck that beats me and you draw it off the top of your deck right when you need it, I would say, damn, I got sacked, or you sacked me. You would say a card is like sacky if it's a very luck-based card or something.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't know why sack is the word we used for that. I have no idea what that's
based off.
It
seems so negative.
Yeah.
Like a negative term when it's like, I guess it is.
It is a negative term. Yeah, no one likes that. Yeah, yeah.
No one wants to get sacked.
Exactly, yeah. What about scoop?
Scoop. Scoop, scoop, potatoes. Scoop.
Oh, I just caught that reference. I just caught that reference. Yeah. Nice.
What, my Scoopski potatoes?
Yeah, it didn't register for a second.
I was like, he's not going to say anything about that. You're putting a lot of cards out in one turn, or you're like, you scoop your turn because you can't do anything. One of those two.
Kind of. What about the second one? Be a little more broad with it.
Scooping your turn?
Yeah, but more broad than that.
You give up.
Exactly.
Can't
That's
do
it.
anything.
Yep, that's it. You give
Yes.
up. Yep. So I would just say like I scoop or something, and it refers to scooping up your cards, right? As in like I'm gonna scoop, I surrender, I give up, whatever. What about a shark? This is a way to describe a person as a shark, or say that they are sharking.
They are sharking or a shark. They're being really aggressive.
Yeah, a lot of these people are pretty aggressive, but they're doing something very specifically.
Are these the people that make you describe every single card or read every single card to them?
Yeah, that's the essence of it, essentially. A shark is usually called a rule shark or like rule sharking.
The
But for
person that says,
short,
Judge!
those type of people, that just says like sharking. And to be clear, like for everybody, like a lot of people that just want to play the game by the rules that get called sharks, shark as a term should be referred exclusively to people that are doing it in a malicious way, right? For example, I have a couple of foreign cards, right? Yu-Gi-Oh has a rule that you, or they may not anymore, but at least when I was, playing back competitively, heavy in the competitive sense, there was a rule that you had to have a translation of the card on hand, right? So like written out on your phone, whatever. And so a rule shark, something they might do is they might look at your foreign card and say, give me a translation of that, even if they know what the card does, even if they're playing the card themselves, give me a translation of that. And if you can't produce one, they'll call a judge and try to use that to get a free win, basically. So sharks are not good people, but it's usually when they do it maliciously, not somebody that's just like, hey, I don't know what that does. Can you translate it? That's different. What about spice?
Giving something a lot of character.
Yeah, that's definitely the broad strokes of it, but like how? I would say, oh, that deck's spicy. That's a spicy card. I got the spice.
That's a really good card.
Not quite, kind of, usually.
Okay, that was spicy.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry, I was trying to think in my.
Is
I
that a
thought I
statement of
was
fact?
thinking that was spicy. So how is it not something good then, or something like really, or like impressive? Impressive is the right word.
Yeah, you're close. I can't give it to you. You're very close. The
Shit.
distinction is like something that is spicy, or saying your deck has the spice is mostly indicating that it's something that is unique. Not necessarily always good, but in a lot of time, or a lot of times, like when it is something spicy that like does well at an event, then it is looked at as good. But there's also spice that is not good, where you're just playing a card that's very unique, very random, but maybe not that helpful. So, but basically unique is the essence of it. And so we got another one here. What about spin? This is a verb, something you will do to a card.
To spin.
Yeah, I'd say like yeah, I'll spin that card, or I'll spin that card back.
Put it, move it from somewhere, from the field to your deck to your hand. To the graveyard.
Okay, you hit on it. You hit on it. It's to send back to the deck. Yeah. So
Yes.
like pop is destroy, so like from field to grave mostly. Bounce is return from field to hand. Spin is return from field to deck.
I'm so smart.
Yeah, you're doing really good with this. We only got like 10 more, I think. What about splash?
Splash.
I also love this turn. This is also one of my favorites.
It does damage to multiple things.
Oh, that is a great guess, 'cause that's
Oh, and
how
that's
it
not it.
No, that's how it is in
Oh,
other
come
games.
on.
That's great though, 'cause like Clash is like splash damage, League, Mobile Legends, that type of thing, which you
Yeah.
play a lot of. So like you say splash damage, I'm sure a ton. But no, that's not what it means in the Yu-Gi-Oh sense.
Well, that's disappointing.
You thought you had it, didn't you?
I did. I was very confident.
Yeah, it ain't
that
easy. It ain't that easy.
Splash. Use it in contexts again.
Yeah, I'm just splashing this in this deck.
Like a useless placeholder.
Okay, I'm not gonna give it to you. Splash, I couldn't get too specific without just like giving you the answer, but splashing is like, you know how I like to play Striker?
Yeah.
And you know how I like to play Adventure?
Yeah.
So I would say I'm splashing Adventure and Striker. Because like Striker
is mixing them.
Mixing, yeah. Or like okay, yeah, I'm just playing a little splash of this. You know, it's or a deck or an engine that works with a bunch of different decks, like Adventure is a splashable engine, you would say. But I like that word, splash, for some reason. And I like splashable engines and cards, so there we go. What about stack?
What is it called?
What?
Splashable onion?
Engines.
Engine.
Engines.
Okay, I was like, what card is called splashable onion?
I mean, I do like onions. Onions are very good. But
yes, you do.
Yeah. What about stack?
Stack. You're going to stack the effect, so you're going to do something after something was just done.
I will accept that answer. Yes. I think that comes more from Magic. You playing Magic than it does Yu-Gi-Oh. But yeah, it can be used in both terms. So like you can use it as a term of somebody stacking their deck, which is cheating, mm-hmm. of like, you know, moving cards to the top or something. You can use it as, like you said, effects that stack. So like a card that, you know, boosts attack or something. If its effect stacks, then it continues to do so on top of itself. Right. So yeah, I will give that to you. What about staple? What's a staple?
A staple card. So a card that is always in your deck, like when you play Ash Blossom.
Ah, amazing. You even gave an example of a staple.
Uh-huh,
beautiful, uh-huh. beautiful. Yeah. There's been a lot of, just in general, I'm curious, like your thoughts. So like if you have a staple card, like you said, you know the definition of it. Do you think those cards are better if they're expensive or better if they're cheap? And I don't know if there's a right answer here. I've heard different, but what do you think?
Well, is it kind of up to interpretation on what people think staple cards are? Because wouldn't it just depend on like the decks that you play and the type of decks you play?
Yes, you are right about that. But take, for example, Pot of Prosperity. Okay. That is a card. You know what that does, right? It like lets you basically look at the top six cards of your deck and then pick one.
Okay.
Yeah, that card is amazing. Right. In any deck that can handle it, you probably want to play it. It boosts up a lot of older decks or weaker decks. It also lets you grab really good cards post siding. So like it's a great card in almost anything. So you would look at that card as pretty much a universal staple. Maybe it's not in every single deck, but it has an argument for a place in almost every deck. So in the case of a card like that, do you think it should be expensive or do you think it should be cheap?
Well, it should be like a mid price point, but if people know it's good and everyone's going to need it, then you know they're going to make it expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Which
that is
what
Konami
what do.
Does. Yeah, they take any card that they think is going to be good or like very widely used, they make it as high a rarity as possible, usually, and it is more expensive.
It's stupid. Because if you want people, well, actually, no, because it depends on how you look at it. Because if you're looking at it from Konami's perspective, oh, well, we can make more money off of this because we know everybody's going to like it or need to use it or something like that. But then it's not fair to the people who, you know, might not be able to afford that sort of thing. So then they're at a disadvantage.
Right. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly. Like, I don't know if I have an opinion. Well, I think I do. But it's like, yeah, because when you have a card like that and you make it expensive, it means that more people are going to buy your product, right?
Yeah.
Because they need that card and they're going to buy a box because they want to pull that card. But if you make it cheap, it's like theoretically you're giving that card to more people to access it, meaning they'll go play in your events more because they have all their staple cards. So then you make money that way. And it's mm-hmm. like, which one is more? I guess it's making the cards expensive because that's what they've been doing for like 10, 20 years or whatever. But
yeah,
it gets a little more scummy when you look at it as like, these cards all release in the OCG first, and the OCG has cheap versions or low rarity versions of all their cards. And Konami can look at that and see which ones are the best and then make them very high rarity here to bump up the price for us.
That's sneaky.
It is sneaky. Yeah. It's good for them, I guess. But yeah, I was just interested. Yeah. I think they should be cheap. That's my opinion.
I think cheaper so is better.
Yeah. I like how the OCG does it. They have their low rarity versions, but you know me, you know, I like shiny cards. Like I'm probably going to buy the high rarity one anyway. So
for some reason,
yeah, they're gonna make money off me regardless. All right, what about starter?
Starter, you always want to have this in your hand,
correct? Yes, yes. What is it though?
Oh,
I always want to have what in my hand?
One of your engine cards.
That's good enough. That's good enough. Yeah, it's really simple. Starter is a card that starts your plays, kind of like the opposite of an extender. Extender furthers them, but doesn't start them. A starter starts them, but doesn't extend them. All right, what about stones? I'd be
stones?
Like, yeah, I'd be like, I opened the stones.
It's all the cards you need to start your play?
Sure. That's good enough. I don't hear this one as much. This is basically just another way of saying the nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah. What about Stratos?
Stratos.
Based off of Elemental Hero Stratos. It has an effect. So this is like a book scenario, if you can kind of tell me what it is. Elemental Hero Stratos has an effect that other cards have a similar effect to, and when they do, people will usually say that this is a Stratos.
Is there any way you can use it in another context?
Yeah, I'd say, okay, I normal summon this card and I'm going to use its effect and, oh, it's a Stratos.
Is it a common effect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, heck yeah. Oh, that was my answer.
Oh, just a common effect in general?
like it's an effect that a lot of cards have.
It's a common effect that a lot of cards have, but if you can tell me what the effect is, I'll give it to you. Just broadly.
The card that lets you summon another card when you get rid of one?
Close, but no. A Stratos is a card that searches another card of the
archetype. Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's that simple, yeah. Just like anything that searches. So like Sky Striker Engage is kind of like a Stratos. Well, Stratos is usually reserved to monsters that do that type of effect. But yeah. What about Swing?
Swing and a miss?
I mean, you could, it could end badly if you do this. Yeah. If you swing sometimes.
It's like taking a chance. Or a risk.
It's funny because some of these you're like way too granular. And then in terms of this, like in this one, you're like way too conceptual. Swing is just to attack with a monster.
I should have known that.
I'm swinging in. And sometimes yes. You swing and you crash. So that's kind of where that comes
you
in.
You miss.
What about tagging out / tagging in? What does that mean?
Can I have an example?
Yeah. Sky Striker Ace Ray has an effect that lets it tag out.
You can swap it from the field to your hand.
close. I don't think I'm gonna give this one to you. This one's really tough though. So like I understand why you wouldn't get it. It's basically like an effect a card has, usually a quick effect that allows it to replace itself with a different card or kind of come and go from the field. So like Ray has the effect that you can send it from the field to the graveyard as a quick effect to summon a Sky Striker Link from your extra deck. So it's like tagging out into the Link, basically. Mm. What about Tech? Oh, tagging out too. Some of my favorite effects in Yu-Gi-Oh! Are like tag in, tag outs. Those are awesome and very fun. What about a Tech?
A tech like T-E-C-H?
Yeah, tech. A tech.
Tech.
A technical foul. No.
That's what I was thinking. yeah. A tech, a tech, a tech, a tech, a tech.
Is it like a question? Like you're questioning something?
No.
Can you use it in a sentence?
If you were looking at my deck and you saw a card that was like usually in the side deck, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's just my tech card. It's one of my tech cards for X.
Tech card for X.
Yeah, it's like it's a noun, I guess. A tech card is a specific type of card that is meant for something.
A field spell.
No. A tech card, this is one of the more broad terms, is just a card that you are playing basically for a matchup, right? Or for accomplishing a specific purpose. It's not an engine card. It's not a starter. It's not an extender. It is a card like theoretically Ash Blossom is a tech card, right? If the best deck in the format gets really hurt by Ash and I play three Ash, I could say, yeah, this is one of my tech cards for that matchup. So it's just, you know, essentially that. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more. So we're in the home stretch. Ooh. Thin. What does it mean to thin?
Thin. To shave away cards from the opponent.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that last part. So yeah, thin. It's just thinning your deck, essentially, is what it means. And so to thin is like if you're searching cards out of your deck to make your deck smaller to help you draw better cards later on, you would say, oh, I know this doesn't accomplish much for me, but I'm at least thinning my deck. And tier zero next.
Tier zero.
Mm-hmm.
The worst of the worst. So like if it's on a tier list, it's garbage.
You are the most wrong that you could possibly be. It's the complete
opposite.
Is it
the best? It's the best, isn't it?
Were you deciding between the two?
I was like, it's one or the other, but tier zero, when I gave my answer, I'm like, this doesn't sound like this is going to be the right thing, but then I was too far into it. Yeah. So it's the opposite. It's the best of the best.
Yeah, you guessed a little bit wrong. A tier zero can be used to describe a format. You could say you're in a tier zero format. What that means is the only real viable option to competitive success is one deck. You would say it's that deck is tier zero and causing a tier zero format. Because if you do a tier list, right, you usually have like tier one, tier two, tier three or something, right? So tier zero is above even one. And lots of people have different qualifications for what a tier zero deck is. But that's what it is for me, at least. I don't have like a hard number, but just if the only real way you can achieve competitive success reliably is by playing one specific deck or a deck that exactly counters it, it's a tier zero deck in a tier zero format. A lot of negative connotation about tier zeros too. Some tier zero formats and decks can be very fun, but some cannot. So it just kind of depends. What about toolbox though?
Toolbox. A toolbox.
Toolbox.
Can you use it in a sentence?
This deck's a toolbox deck. This one's very intuitive.
It's a very steppy deck. Like it has multiple things that you have to do, like a combination.
No, unfortunately. I thought you were getting there. It's very intuitive. So like if you open up a toolbox, what do you have?
Tools.
Yeah. And you usually have a bunch of different tools, right? You have a screwdriver, you got hammers, you got nails, you got tape measure. What else you got? Screws or something. Like you have things that can accomplish many different tasks. And that's what a toolbox deck is a deck that has many options to do many different things. Or to go in very many different directions or something. So basically what it is. What about top deck?
Top deck. Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah, me. No. Not without giving it to you. I can't.
It's literally the cards at the top of your deck.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. Yeah, it's like if you're top decking, it's basically saying I can't do anything. I'm basically playing with the card off the top of my deck. What about towers? This is a classification that you would give to a card, a type of card. You would say this card is a Towers. Based off of Apocleifort Towers.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't like these type of cards. I don't know if that helps.
You don't like cards that do everything in the first turn.
I don't. You're right. But no, that is not what a Towers is.
Dang it.
Think of it more intuitively, I guess, of like a tower.
A tower has many levels.
Okay, no, you're not getting this one. So a Towers is a card. So like in Yu-Gi-Oh! You have cards that accomplish different things, and you have, you know, what I would say, like you have boss monsters, right? And a Towers card, Apocleifort Towers, was a boss monster of the Cleafort archetype. And basically what it was is it was a card that was extremely hard to get rid of, right? It's not always a card that does a lot for you to progress the game state, but it's very, very hard to get rid of. for example, sorry, I had a cough. There is a deck that is based off of Power Rangers. It's called Super Quantal. And basically the goal of this deck is to make this giant Megazord, essentially. And it's a XE monster, a black one with a bunch of materials. And basically it's unaffected by everything, right? So that is something that is a Towers. It's like, how the hell do I get rid of this thing if it's unaffected by all my effects, right? It's a Towers is what that is. So what about...
So much knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, you pick up a lot of these things just kind of like being in the game, just kind of learn. What about Turbo?
Turbo. Mm-hmm. Use it in a sentence, please.
That deck is just... Turbo. That deck is just Towers Turbo. Give you a little combo.
Too much knowledge. Oh, no. Turbo. Happens very... I'm going to take it quite literally. Takes it very quickly.
I'll give you that. Yes. Turbo is like a way to describe a deck that does one very specific thing very quickly. So like Towers Turbo would be a deck that just wants to summon a bunch of Towers type monsters very quickly. So yeah. What about Vanilla?
So is it like in Magic where I try to get all of my elves as quickly as possible?
Kind of. I don't hear that term in Magic as much from like my experience in it, but it might exist there too. But yeah, your elves are like... kind of, but like you wouldn't really call it
Turbo Elves
Turbo because you're not summoning a very specific card. You're just like, you would call your deck a swarm deck, not really like a turbo deck, which is another good term that I don't have on here, but whatever. What about Vanilla?
It is basic.
That's good enough for me. Yeah. Vanilla refers to all normal monsters. So monsters without effect. And what about Win Dash More? It's very conceptual.
Okay. Can you use it in a sentence?
Yeah. I don't want to play this card because it's a win more card.
Is it like an out to winning more frequently?
What do you mean an out to winning? What does that mean?
Like, do you like to go against these types of cards?
I mean, no. I don't think anybody should be playing these types of cards.
Is it a cheese ball way to win?
No, so I can't give it to you. It's a little more conceptual. Win More is a card that helps you win more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. no, it's this one's actually like very complex and like a lot of times like very hard to decipher if cards do this. So like, for example, let's say I have you at 500 life points, right?
Okay.
And I have a card in my hand. I have a monster on field. I can kill you, but I have a card in my hand that says your opponent sends all cards in their deck to the graveyard. Okay. That card in that situation is win more because I don't need it, right? I'm already winning. I've already won the game. So why am I playing that card to, or, you know, let's make the effect worse. Let's say your opponent sends the top two cards of their deck to the graveyard. Like, you know, that doesn't really accomplish anything for me. Like theoretically, it makes my position better, but I've already won. I'm already winning. So why am I playing it?
So right. Is that in like the perspective of when we were playing Capsule Monsters and I was about to win, but I kept moving every single monster I had instead of attacking you with just the one?
Kind of, yeah, like because you'd already won the game. So it's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, just end the game. But in Yu-Gi-Oh, you'll have cards like that where they are options for you, but you will only be able to use them when you're already in a winning position. And if you're already in a winning position, then why play cards that only help you in that winning position? Because you're already in a winning position, right?
Yeah.
If you're already winning, why do you need cards to help you win more? Why do you need to summon, you know, 24,000 attack to the board? You only have to get 8, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the thing. It's hard to tell sometimes when cards are win more versus when they're not. And I'm trying to think of an example. Sky Striker. So this is kind of like more so for the listeners, I guess. I think multi-roll at multiple copies is win more, right? If you're establishing your first multi-roll or multi-roll at all and continuing to be able to play, you're not going to need the second one, right? Like you should be able to close it out, which, I mean, that's not actually true because Sky Striker is not good anymore, but, you know, well, I guess maybe back in the day. Yeah. I don't want to get on my soapbox of win more, but yeah, always look at your cards, analyze them. If you think they're win more and they only help you in winning situations, you can probably play a better card that'll help you in situations where you're not winning. And last one here, we have wipe.
Wipe. Get rid of them.
Sure.
You're going to wipe the board.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Wipe the board. Yeah. This is kind of like similar to nuke. Something like evenly matched is essentially a board wipe. So, yeah. So that is all of our Yu-Gi-Oh! Jargon that we have. There's more out there. Don't get me wrong. But we had to cut some of it down so we didn't have a million here. Let's count how many you got. How many you think you got?
I think I got 43.
Okay, that's a good guess. Let's see. I think we ended up doing 67. There were a couple in here that I was like, these suck, that you would never get. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. You went on a run of like 9 in a row. 26,
I'm just
27,
that good.
28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Oh, you got 40. You got exactly 40. Ooh. Yeah. Great performance, though. You knew way Thank more you. Of these than I thought you were going to.
I'm so smart.
Yeah, I had to help you on a couple of them. But hey, it's okay. It's
hey
okay.
Now.
It's okay. It's okay. So whatever the prize is, I guess you won it. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for us. It is just so much easier having a co-host doing this, by the way. Like, it just feels so rambly by myself where I'm just, like, talking and stuff. You know, unless I like prep really, really hard for it. But yeah. So thank you guys for listening and thank you guys for continuing to listen, even with everything that's gone on, even with the scapegoats ending soon. And just as a reminder, ask me questions, man. I will take as many of them as you want because I want to make sure that I at least have enough to fill up an episode by myself. And if not an episode, a super long episode, a 2-hour, 3-hour long episode, would love to end it on something like that. So yeah, the tweet will go out. If you're on Patreon, DM me there. If you're on Twitter, you can DM me there or respond to the tweet. You can ask as many as you want and about anything that you want to, right? I'm into a lot of different stuff too. So like, you know, you can ask about games, sports, whatever. And yeah, I think that's it. Anything you want to say, Sienna, before you skedaddle on out of here, now that they've had 2 appearances of you?
I was trying to think. I got put on the spot very quickly.
You did.
I mean, you tell don't have Josh to. You want me to be on his YouTube channel every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Hey.
I mean, it'd be fun. It'd be fun. I don't know if it'll fit the content, though. But
it work.
Yeah. I don't know if I talked about this. Like I said, I'm going to miss like the personal side of it. I may start a podcast kind of based around the channel just so I have that outlet to like talk to you guys like this, because that's way more fun.
Encourage him on that.
Yeah, I guess so. But cool. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Sienna and I here at the Scapegoats. And I will catch you in the next one, either next Monday or the Monday after that, with a Q&A. Looking forward to answering all y'all's questions. And thank you all so much again for listening, for leaving a review, for becoming a patron. Y'all are the best. We wouldn't have been able to do this without you. And yeah, just thank you very much. I know I've said it a million times, but I'll continue to say it. All right. Catch y'all in the next one.
Bye.